Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
What's that? Who pays your salary? What's that? Who pays? What's that?
We're not a democracy!
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network.
Welcome. Oh my gosh, I can't hear myself. What's going on here? Okay. Boy, do I feel silly. Welcome back to Land of Bourbon and Bad Citizens. This is the Tyler Morgan Show live on twitch.tv/Tyler Morgan Show, or maybe you're checking this out on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheTylerMorganShow. I don't know why the at or the has to be there, but hey, apparently at Tyler Morgan Show was already taken by you by someone on YouTube, so I had to add the. Boy, is that redundant. Anywho's, or maybe check this out on Rumble, rumble.com. Just go there and search for The Tyler Morgan Show or Relentless Daring, and you will stumble across me. Now, I'd like to apologize that last week's episode is not up on the YouTubes or the Rumbles because, for some reason, Twitch only recorded the first 20 minutes or so of the show, so I could only go that far. And I was going to only put a partial episode up because it would have cut off, I think, before my pitch for Magic Mind. So, yeah, maybe it was the whole having a paid-for pitch in the middle of it. I don't know. But speaking of paying bills, let me tell you about beard oil. Yes, that's right. Beard oil, ladies and gentlemen, that's how I keep this luscious mane growing on my face, so soft and amazing and just excellent. It's just because, you know, you got to take care of it. It's like the hair on your head. If you don't, you know, use conditioner and stuff, your hair gets all brittle and nasty. If you don't use the right shampoos, the right moisturizing stuff, you get dandruff and all itchy under your hair. Same thing with your face. So check out BlueCollarBeardsman.com. Check out their line of everyday beard oils, whether it's the Smoke Break, which the Smoke Break they have renamed. I don't have the new name handy. But either way, it's still the however they renamed it that I don't remember. Doggone it. An amazing blend of spicy Cuban tobacco, some hints of vanilla to it. Like I said, it doesn't smell like smoke. It doesn't smell like ash. It smells like a good, yummy, delicious cigar. Check them out. And also check out their new line of beard butters. And also the combs and stuff they also offer as well. Because, you know, I do have to keep my beard combed out or else it gets all tangly and then I will spend hours of my day just running my fingers through my beard, just working out the little tangles. So check it out. They have so many great scents. And also be sure to sign up for their subscription service. There you will get a monthly special scent that comes to you as soon as it's available. Here the next week, they'll be sending out the December special scent. I believe it is called Slay Mechanic. I don't have the notes of what it has, but I believe it's going to be kind of a pepperminty. I don't know off the top of my head, but go to bluecollarbeardsman.com. You'll be able to find out exactly what scents it has, and I will stop looking like a dumbass for trying to sell you something when I don't have the notes available to me. Yeah, that's totally poor playing on my part. I got to watching YouTube instead of, you know, make sure I had everything I needed. So check out bluecollarbeardsman.com. All right, so lots of crazy been going on this week. And I don't even know where to start. I got four stories, but I've got a bonus one I'm going to throw at you. In Ohio, there was a hate crime. Somebody ran down a 20-year-old man shouting, "Death to all Palestinian! Rah!" Well, it turns out Mr. What's-His-Nuts, I'm going to guess he's a Palestinian, because honestly, if I were to see an Iraqi, a Saudi, an Iranian, and a Jordanian all standing next to each other, I'm not going to be able to tell them apart. I know it sounds horribly racist, but they're all, I can look at them and go, oh, you're all kind of Arabic looking. Okay. You got the, you know, the brownish skin, the dark hair. Maybe they have a beard, maybe they don't. They all look like they're from the same region. I'm not going to be able to look at them and specifically say, hey, you're Lebanese. Unless it's Jamie Farr. If I see Jamie Farr, I will know he's Lebanese. Because he worked his Lebanese-ishness into his role as Corporal Klinger on MASH. So, but he's the only one I would know because I know what his background is. But as far as, but anyways, that should be your first clue right there. That someone specifically said death to all Palestinians. Now, don't get me wrong. After 9/11, there were a few Sikhs who fell victim to this kind of violence because dumbasses who don't know a Sikh from an Indian, from a Pakistani, from a Saudi Arabian. They saw a guy with brown skin, a beard, and a turban, and they thought, ah, that's one of them daggum Muslims. We're going to go after him. Like I said, it does happen. But in this case, it was so blatantly obvious. But yeah, it was a hoax. He pretended that he got run down for being a Palestinian when there was no evidence that he actually did it. And then all the evidence comes out. Yeah, dude, you're a liar. Stop lying. So, yeah. That's like my kicker. That's not even a kicker story. It's my kickoff story. There we go. All right, let's see what I want to look at here. See. Do-do-do. Yeah, how about we get into some fall of Western civilization here? No! One of my stories just fell off the other side of the desk. I can't get to it. So sad. All right, so remember, I believe it was last month, maybe it's earlier this month, in Virginia, there was a race for a House seat, and the Democrat running for this seat was outed as being an OnlyFans star. Yes, that's right. No, I mean, whoring for money versus whoring for money. I mean, I could see where they translate out. Getting stooped by your husband on a camera for money, how is that any different than, you know, stooping the citizens of your district for money as a politician? I mean, prostitution is only illegal when there's not a camera involved. I'm just saying. But it's getting ridiculous. You know, in Missouri, in the same school in Missouri, they've had two high school teachers who've been fired for whoring it up on OnlyFans. Now, I know there are some of you who are saying, well, Tyler, you can't judge them for using sex for their income. Oh, that's where you're wrong. You see, John Adams said that this our Constitution is for a good and moral people. Now, I know morals around sex have changed over the past couple hundred years. But at the same time, remember when there used to be some decency involved? Men, the whole idea of getting caught with a hooker. I mean, it almost ruined Hugh Grant's entire career. Because while he was shooting Notting Hill with, oh, dadgummit. My brain is not working tonight, if you can't tell. When he was working on Notting Hill with Julia Roberts, he got busted picking up a hooker. And his career was not actually saved until he went on Jay Leno's show, and Jay Leno just looks at him and, what the hell were you thinking? I mean, Jerry Springer, you know, he recently passed away. His political career was ruined because, while as mayor of Cleveland, or is it Cincinnati? One of those Ohio cities. I know, opposite corners of the state, but he was a mayor of a fairly large mayor of a fairly large Ohio city, and he was busted when he wrote a check for a prostitute and it bounced. See, there used to be some shame that came with this. Women didn't want to get caught being hookers. But suddenly, you get a camera involved, and suddenly it's not prostitution if there is a camera involved, because now it's hot. Oh, no. I am not engaging in the world's oldest profession, officer. You see the camera over there? I am an actress. I am being paid to perform fellatio, and it's on the camera. And now with stuff like OnlyFans, I mean, OnlyFans is basically the same technology I'm coming to you live on Twitch with. It's streaming software. All you need is a camera. Set up an account, link your wherever you get having the money go to, and suddenly you can be your own Ron Jeremy if you're a dude. You can be your own insert name of female porn star over here if you're a chick. And the normalization of all of this is now it's going to be affecting our political world, because forget the arguments over, well, prostitution should be legal. Prostitution should be decriminalized. The only time I've ever supported the decriminalization of any prostitution is in the case of minors who are being pimped, probably against their will, because they're the victims of human trafficking. And adult women, if an adult woman is being trafficked for sex, and she is picked up while in the act of prostituting herself, she should not be charged because she is a victim. She doesn't have much of a choice. So, but if a woman's like out on the streets because, she's not being forced to do it for whatever reasons, yeah, go ahead, charge her with prostitution. I don't care about that. But now, like I said, it's really beginning to affect all the ways that we're going with our politics, to the point of the OnlyFans legislator in Virginia. Now we're seeing this on the left coast. Oregon Dem House candidate looks to reclaim her sexuality after being outed as a Manhattan dominatrix. An Oregon Democratic congressional candidate is embracing her past and looking to reclaim her sexuality after a clip of her working at a Manhattan BDSM dungeon was leaked online earlier this year. Prior to being exposed for her past work in her 20s and 30s, Courtney Casgrow, a 41-year-old, self-described international businesswoman who is seeking to represent Oregon's 1st Congressional District in the House, worked as a dominatrix and charged clients an estimated $500 an hour. $500 an hour to torture, torment, beat with whips, chain up, do all sorts of weird and crazy stuff that I can't imagine because I, even if I was, you know, very adventurous, shall we say, that's not stuff I would be into. I believe there should be a separation between what hurts and what feels good. I don't think you should mix the two. I think it's a horrible combination. But I digress. In an interview with New York Post, Casgrow discussed how she felt when the video released and how she's using the incident to empower her campaign for Congress.
I was panicking, and I was like, who did this? And I just started calling every single person that I pretty much knew from my past. I was hyperventilating, crying.
Casgrow, the single mother of a teenage son. Odd, Jimmy. Isn't that what you want to hear? Your mom is an overpaid... Trying to be nice here. Your mom is an overpaid panderer of flesh who made lots of money by chaining dudes up and beating them with a riding crop.
I don't like the thought of mommy doing that. Oh,
it's ridiculous. A native of California, Casgrow returned to the BDSM industry during the COVID. She returned. She didn't turn to it. She returned, meaning before doing this in New York during COVID, just a few years ago. She did this in the past. You know, something I've come to realize over the years, doing something once is a mistake. Doing is a bad decision. When you stop making this bad decision, and you turn away from it, and then you go right back to it eventually. I don't think you just made a bad decision one time. I think you kind of liked it. I mean, if you... what's an S.E. Hinton novel about the kid who went to Oklahoma and was working in horse stables? I can't think off the top of my head. I had to read it in high school, which is a really long freaking time ago. All I know is S.E. Hinton, same author who wrote The Outsiders. But anyways, in this story, the main character of the book tried cocaine one time. And this is where I could say it was a bad decision, a mistake. Because he tried it. And he decided, oh my God, I really love this. And it scared him so bad that he loved it so much and he responded so positively to it, he didn't want to touch it again. So later on in the book, when he's offered cocaine by a coworker at the stables, he says no. Because he doesn't want to get caught up in it. But yeah, she returned during the COVID-19, this time working at Donatella's Dungeon. Oh my God, Donatella's Dungeon. An S&M club in Midtown Manhattan. Though she was never able to identify the responsibility or identify who was responsible for leaking the video, Cosgrove told the outlet she believed someone was attempting to shame her. Okay, here's the problem. You can't shame somebody who has no shame. I mean, this isn't kink shaming where her and her husband, her boyfriend, this is something that they enjoy. Edit, dropping my mouse. Something they enjoy and they share it together. They keep it together in their bedroom. They don't want anyone knowing about it. And then when people find out about it, okay, that's kink shaming. What they do in their bedroom is none of their business. But when you are engaged in a business and doing it publicly, you have no shame. You don't. Sorry. That's the reason why the guy who constantly getting ticketed for indecent exposure because he's a public pud puller, he doesn't have shame. He doesn't. He's upset that he gets caught because he doesn't want to have to pay the fine and the stigma that goes on with being a public pud puller, but he's still going to keep doing it. After the third or fourth time he's been busted, there's a problem. It's the exhibitionism of it. It's the same thing with her. She doesn't care. Now, what bothers her is that she got caught and that it might hurt her politically. But what happened to shame in America? People say shame like it's a bad thing. No, shame is not a bad thing. Shame is a great thing. Because that means you understand there's a moral code. And that if you violate the moral code, there will be consequences. It's not like a person who is so desperate for money because they got to put food on the table for their kids. They go out and they turn a couple tricks and they feel disgusted with themselves and they never do it again. Shame is good in that situation because they have it. It helps let them know that I understand what I'm doing is not morally right and it sucks that I have to do it. And it keeps them from turning to a life of crime, keeps them from turning into, there are pedophiles out there who are attracted to kids who never act on it because they know this attraction to children is wrong. And I can't imagine the hell of having urges that you know are wrong. And you have to suppress and fight those urges because, and every day is a struggle. Because you know that if you follow through with these urges, you're not getting your jollies, you're hurting somebody. You are hurting a child, especially. And you know, like I said, you know it's wrong, you don't want to do it. And so the shame of, oh my God, people are going to know that I have these crazy thoughts and these attractions, and if I do it, I'm going to be hurting somebody. Shame is good. Now, if you're doing something that is upstanding, and you get attacked for it, and people try to shame you for stepping in when some dude was trying to slap his girlfriend around. How are you getting involved in somebody else's business? And they try to make you feel bad. No, then you can stand by and go, no, I did nothing wrong. But this whole idea that she should feel like she's being shamed because of her past career choices? No. You're being held to account for personal behaviors that are questionable. Because how much money does it take to go from you know, the chaining and whipping of a consenting adult to, you know, maybe you can give me a happy ending here. I mean, this is one of those things that society has gotten so far from what the social contract used to mean. What it meant to be a good and upstanding citizen. Like I said, we have porn stars, whether they're do-it-at-home porn stars or actual porn stars, getting into politics and having a say in local and state and, oh, God forbid, federal law. This is the reason why you have drag queen story hours. Drag shows used to be something that, you know, people did kind of on the down low. We don't want people to know we're doing this, okay? To, it went from that to, it's at the gay club. We're going to bring in the best drag artists from all over, and we're going to perform for adults. To now, it's in drag. Reading stories to kids. It's family-friendly drag shows. Featuring such amazing signs on the wall as it's not going to lick itself. Ha! Huh. That doesn't seem like a very family-friendly thing to say at the family-friendly drag show. But I digress. It just goes to show the lack of shame, the lack of accepting moral responsibilities for anything. There's a reason why artists like Pink are like, I'm going to give out band books at all my shows in Florida. Okay, so watch her be giving out To Kill a Mockingbird, which was not banned in Florida, unless it was done by a previous Democrat. Because, oh my God, they're painting a black man as a not guilty, being not guilty of raping a white woman. Oh, the humanity. We can't be showing black people in a positive light. Yeah, that was the original reason To Kill a Mockingbird was banned. Then they started trying to ban it because, oh my God, Atticus Finch is a white man with a white savior complex. We cannot have our children exposed to such horrible racism that black men can't defend themselves. Then they must have a white man come and do it for them. Oh, please. But, yeah, is Pink going to be passing out that? Or is she going to be passing out books like Genderqueer or insert number of other titles of graphic novels? Yeah, not just books, not just words on page, they're graphic novels. That's what they call them. Comics. But they're picture books with illustrations that are graphic. Not in the sense that they're pictures, but in the sense of what they are pictures of. Because we don't have enough lack of shame in society as it is. I was completely unprepared. I didn't even have my whiskey poured yet. Reach over here, put it out of the way. Redonkulous. But yeah, it's nuts that she would be all butthurt that people knew about her past and there's like, hey, this is who you're electing. Because as it's not like it was you at one time at some kinky college party where it's like, hey, we're having an S&M theme, dress up in some dom stuff, wear some leather, bring a riding crop, it'll be fun. No, this was an actual career choice. And like I said, it kind of dovetails well into politics, but is that really what we want coming into our politics?
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, so before I get back into the mix of things, let's talk about coffee, shall we? Yes, coffee, the amazing drink that makes my world go around. Stop staring at my liquor bottles. I know I like whiskey, but you know what? Whiskey doesn't get me up and running in the mornings. No, 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 that would be coffee, and the best coffee that I have found and is an amazing way to start the day would be from my pal Dave at American Pride Roasters. American Pride Roasters is a homegrown business in, with bringing raw coffee beans, blending them to get the perfect match of beans from here, there, and everywhere. The perfect roast, the right, just the perfect amount of flavorings for those that require them. Roasted, ground, and sent to you from Runnels, Iowa. Now, Dave just got back into his house. We remember last year when Dave lost his home to a tornado and everything got, you know, tore up. Then he was having to roast at an off-site facility. Well, his home is going. He's just started roasting again. So, yay for Dave. Yay for American Pride Roasters and all the amazing work they do. Check out all their flavors of coffee, whether you like just plain old-fashioned coffee, no flavors added to it, whether you like some more flavorful coffees. They have all kinds to choose from. Get them, pick your coffee, get your flavor that you like. Me, the Thomas Paine Age of Reason Remix, 100% pure Robusta beans for an amazing caffeine kick, especially if you have an espresso machine. Oh my God, just saying, some good stuff. Check them out today, American Pride Roasters. Check out the coffee drops. Check out, like I said, their non-flavored coffees, their flavored coffees, so much to choose from, and it's all so good. And the best part, do you like to grind your own beans? You can get a whole bean. Do you just want to pass up that hassle? Just, you know what? I like my cold brew and the stuff you buy on the shelf. It's just too fine. Guess what? You can get a good coarse grind so you can have that nice, long, slow soak overnight in the fridge. Absolutely amazing ways he does stuff for you where he will roast it. He'll get roasted, get ground to order, sent to you. So good. I love it. Check them out today, AmericanPrideRoasters.com. Historically, great coffee. All right, so, since coffee is a big part of my life, the Army was also a big part of my life, and as we have seen for the past few years, the Army hasn't been doing so good with recruiting. Recruiting is down. They were hurting so bad for recruiting that there's like, hey, 120 people, sergeant, staff sergeant, yeah, send them to recruiting school. No. So you have guys who are coming down orders for recruiting school in like less than 30 days, which typically the Army doesn't like to do that because that creates a lot of headaches and hassle with travel and all that. But they were willing to do it because apparently the reason that we're not getting enough recruits is because we don't have enough recruiters. So they're sending a massive amount of NCOs to recruit to the recruiting school. I want to say Fort Jackson. I think they moved it to Fort Knox because that's where Accessions and Retention Command is. But I digress. And here, a few months ago, the Army started reaching out to all those that were kicked out for refusing the booster. 8,000. Hurting so bad, they reached out to the 8,000 people they kicked out, some of whom received a dishonorable discharge, mind you.
If you come back, we'll let you serve again. At the very least, we'll let you see about getting your discharge upgraded.
Oh, how magnanimous of you. Yeah, it was such a great offer that a whopping 43 out of 8,000 soldiers who got booted over the COVID vax returned to service. You think you might have burned some bridges there, Army, when you started going, you're refusing to take this vaccination for anything from religious reasons to questioning how well and effective this vaccine is? You're out of here, bub! And guess what? We're going to do this. Do us basically giving you a felony on your arrest record. We're going to give you a dishonorable discharge. So, oh yeah, and by the way, dishonorable discharge? Yeah, good luck the whole Second Amendment thing, because dishonorable discharges lose their rights to carry a firearm. Yeah, ruining people's lives, ruining careers over a shot. Now, mind you, any other shot in the military, if you come forward and say, hey, I can't get this shot for whatever reason, usually they'll try to work with you. Now, don't get me wrong. They don't like having to give waivers for certain vaccines because of whatever reason, because, you might deploy somewhere where it's like, oh, you're allergic to the yellow fever shot. Okay, we can waive that. Which, there were people who vaccine injured in the past. They couldn't get a waiver for the COVID vaccine because everyone must get it. But they're at the point now where their recruiters are making signs that say, COVID vaccine is not required. Yes, that's right. U.S. Army recruiters have updated the recruitment posters to emphasize the removal of the COVID-19 vaccine mandate, aiming to boost enlistment numbers. Yes, because COVID is the only reason they weren't joining. It couldn't be the ad campaigns that make us look like laughing stocks. Like the CIA ad campaigns. I am a neurodivergent, autistic, gay, blah, 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 blah. I work at the spy library. Cool. Good job. I have generalized anxiety disorder and blah, 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 blah. So why are you working in a spy agency? Working at Intel is nothing but anxiety. Why would you go to work for them?
I got the yips because they need this analysis right now.
Yeah. The move comes after the Biden administration's vaccine requirement, which was in place since August 2021, was rescinded in January 2023 after recruiting numbers had faltered significantly. The vaccine mandate, lasting only 15 months, marked a unique period in the U.S. military history as the first time a vaccine requirement was reversed. The mandate's cancellation was influenced by arguments from many Republicans who claimed the mandate negatively impacted military recruitment and retention, especially when... Now, I'm not saying this happened. But for some reason, during the COVID-19 vaccine mandate, there's a weird spike in things like cancer diagnosis. Huh. Now, I'm not saying the COVID vaccine caused the spike in cancers. I am not saying the COVID-19 vaccine was causing pilots to be grounded due to heart problems. I would never spread any medical misinformation on this platform, because if it goes to YouTube, YouTube would be like, we told you you can't do that or you're going to catch a hard strike. So I'm not saying the COVID vaccine did or did not do these things. I'm just saying it's an interesting correlation. It's an interesting correlation. Despite the mandate's repeal, the response from previously discharged service members has been tepid. Interesting turn of phrase there, has been tepid. Of the over 8,000 service members who were discharged, only 43 have rejoined the military in the 8 months following the repeal. Whoops. Department of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was forced to remove the requirement due to the passage of the James M. Inhofe National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2023. Some who left the military are not returning because of the vaccine mandate, combined with an increased emphasis on woke values, have left them with qualms about serving altogether.
But they say they're not being woke, they're being inclusive.
I'm sorry, when the chairman of the Joint Chiefs says, we're not having drag performances paid for by federal funds. And then the member of Congress holds up the flyer that was sent to them by one of their constituents at that military base saying, oh, look, the base MWR is giving them a place to do this drag performance. Or the emphasis on identity politics in recruiting. Because identitarian movements always go so well. So let's have some identitarian stuff going on in the military. Because, you know, no identitarian movement has ever gone bad ever before ever. All right, I'm trying to squeeze in what I can here before the end of the show, because I'm a little long on the first segment. Hadn't planned on that. Okay, so switching gears. All right, so if you've ever been on YouTube and you're a gunner and you watch gun videos, you see ads all the time. You see on Facebook pretty often too, about if you become involved in a self-defense shooting scenario, you could probably be the one who finds yourself in handcuffs. Imagine not just finding yourself in handcuffs until the investigation is done and then you're released. Imagine you have a clear-cut case of self-defense. You are on your property in a gated home in a gated community. And it's on the Ring camera, everything that happens. It shows that you are obviously acting in self-defense. You are a licensed concealed carry permit holder for your state. You engage in these acts of self-defense, you discharge your firearm, and then the state, they repeal your concealed carry permit. That's what's happening to an LA homeowner who is amazingly a concealed carry permitted citizen. Well, a Los Angeles homeowner who used a firearm to fend off an apparent would-be robbers at his home said his concealed carry permit was taken just days after the residential neighborhood shootout. After successfully defending my home and my family and my five-month-old child, California has now decided to suspend my Second Amendment rights. As an L.A. resident and married father of one, Vince Ritchie, said in a video for the NRA that was exclusively shared with Fox News Digital. Ritchie told Fox News Digital that the sheriff's office called him Thursday morning to inform him that his concealed carry permit was revoked. And it was said it was due to him yelling at Los Angeles police officers when they visited his home to investigate the shooting 3 days after the incident. Ritchie previously railed the LAPD, the department investigating the case, carried out sloppy police work, including allegedly not picking up the casing scattered near his home as evidence. The sheriff's office did not immediately respond to Fox News' request for comment, and it is unclear if other factors played a role in the homeowner losing his permit. Gunfight broke out at Ritchie's front door on November 4th, just after the homeowner returned to his gated L.A. home after hitting the gym. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they jumped the fence from behind him, was sneaking up, and he caught motion. He threw his drink at him, pulled his gun. They tried vamoosing over the fence. He fired. They shot back. You know, typical suburban gunfight stuff. I mean, who hasn't been in their suburban home and just randomly decided to have a gunfight? I mean, come on. Who among us? Who among us? Okay, obtaining a concealed carry permit in California has historically been difficult compared to other states, with Ritchie previously telling Fox Digital it took months for his permit to process. Ritchie, however, uses his firearm on his private property. California law allows legal U.S. residents over the age of 18 to carry firearms on private property and residences without permit or license. Oh! Ritchie said the shooting is a queer self-defense case, noting he was confronted by two men pointing guns at my chest as he tried to make his way into the home. Situation is unique because it happened at my front door, all on camera. But this happens time and time again all over the country. People sweep it under the rug because it doesn't behoove their political agenda. In fact, the fact is, evil will always exist. Yeah, and the LAPD, due to the press release on the attempted robbery, said detectives are investigating, calling on members to come forward with any tips on the case. But yeah, the whole idea that, you know, he can have commentary. First Amendment protected commentary on how the police are doing their jobs. And they say that's the reason. That's the reason why he took his license, because he yelled at us. Oh my God. That sounds like a nice First Amendment lawsuit right there. Just to, like, oh. So he did nothing to get his license revoked, but you did it anyways, and you said it's because he called you out on shoddy police work? Isn't that crazy? Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy who's the prosecutor in L.A. County, not exactly a fan of the Constitution, or really enforcing the law for that matter. I mean, hundreds and thousands of people since What's-His-Nuts came in as prosecutor, some of them being charged with violent crimes, felonies, have been just the name of equity, diversity, and woke garbage. You are free to go, young man. Please go forth and commit no more crimes. Oh, you're back again. Oh, I'm so sorry you couldn't stay out longer than a week without getting in trouble. Anyways, inclusive, diverse, this, that, and the other, go out and break laws no more. Oh, dadgummit, you did again. It's ridiculous. Obviously, the pulling of his concealed carry permit is retaliation because he happened to say mean words. He didn't commit a crime. He wasn't obstructing the investigation. He was like, hey, dumbasses, the shells from the guns they were shooting, they're right there. You might want to take those. And just being frustrated with the system. I mean, what the hell? Since when are American citizens not allowed to peacefully call out any member of the government, whether it is the local police, teachers who work for your local school board, they're also basically state employees. You should be able to say, hey, teach, I don't like the way you're doing your job. You should be able to show up at a school board because you kind of put them there and tell them off. We had a big bond issue going through one of our elections recently where the citizens were lied to. And then we were gaslit about, oh, well, this is how it's all going to happen, but we put it out there. No, you didn't. And then when asked about during public meetings for the first time, well, we really don't know how much it's going to bring in, and we really don't have a plan on how we're going to spend the money if it passes. Really? Yeah, needless to say, that bond issue did not pass. Yay to lower taxes. Or at least the tax is not going up. Oh. All right. So, last story before I get out of here. We all know how much the Anti-Defamation League is really great at defamation. I mean, I don't know how many times listening to Glenn Beck, I've heard him say, yeah, they call me an anti-Semite all the time. Yet at the same time, I've got this wonderful Defender of Israel Award. Check it out. I hate Jews so much, they recognize me as a defender of their existence. But I digress. And then when the ADL and their loving, loving partners over at Media Matters, or as Neil Bortz used to call them, Media Myrmidons, when they get together on something, you know it's going to be awesome. In this case, it's getting advertisers to drop Twitter. I ain't going to call it X. You shut your dirty mouth. So IBM suspends advertising on Twitter as Musk faces an anti-Semitism backlash. IBM announced Thursday it's halting its advertising from Elon Musk's Twitter, following a report that its ads appeared next to pro-Nazi posts. Now, keep in mind, this is from Axios, so there's probably going to be some left-wing spin to it. But Okay, there's going to be a lot. The big picture. The move comes as Musk faced backlash for endorsing an anti-Semitic post as 164 Jewish rabbis and activists upped their call to Apple, Google, Amazon, and Disney to stop advertising on Twitter, and for Apple and Google to remove it from their platforms following his action. The left-wing nonprofit Media Matters for America published a report Thursday identifying IBM as one of the companies whose ads appeared next to posts on X that, quote, tout Hitler and his Nazi party, end quote. IBM said in a statement shared with outlets, including Axios, that it has zero tolerance for hate speech and discrimination. We have immediately suspended all advertising on X while we investigate this entirely unacceptable situation. Musk posted to Twitter on Wednesday, you have said the actual truth, in response to a Twitter post that claimed Jewish communities support, quote, dialectical hatred against whites. He has since tried to backtrack by suggesting without evidence that he was primarily talking about his advertising nemesis, at the ADL per Axios Dan Primack. Ex-CEO Linda Yaccarino said in a Thursday post that the company has been extremely clear about our efforts to combat anti-Semitism and discrimination, adding, "There's no place for it anywhere in the world. It's ugly and wrong, full stop." A Twitter executive told Axios on Thursday night that the company did a sweep on the accounts that Media Matters found, and they will no longer be monetizable, and that the specific post it highlighted will be labeled sensitive media. The Twitter system is not intentionally placing a brand actively next to this type of content, nor is a brand actively trying to support this type of content with ad placement. Ads follow the people on Twitter. In the case of Media Matters, researchers has its own user handle, and then actively looking for this content. That's how user targeting works. Yeah, so basically, you get people with monetized accounts that they're subject to receiving ads placed in the thread of replies. Or, you know, getting ads placed right next to it because people see that post and then they're probably going to see the ad right next to it. But if you're going out and you're looking for the anti-Semitic post and then you're shocked when advertising pops up next to it, you're generating it. Do we not know how this crap works anymore? If you're not paying anything to use a service, you are the product. You go around looking for, I'm going to look for this person I know posts anti-Semitic stuff. This person posts stuff I know isn't right. You go around looking for it, and then you're surprised when advertising pops up next to it. That means you have failed Internet 101. And those wonderful, wonderful people at Media Myrmidons and maybe even the ADL should go back and take it. Again, whether you pay for, I mean, if you're paying for Twitter, I'm not going to fault anyone who pays for the check mark. I had a paid check mark for a while, and I decided I want to save my money. So I canceled the subscription. So, if you want to pay for it, do it. And if it's helping you make money and with ads, that's fine. If you're being a racist asshole, maybe not so much. But when you're not paying for it, and you're getting the ads, and they're obnoxious, but you're going out and you're looking for hateful content, don't be surprised. Do not be surprised when Twitter is making money off of you looking at the hateful content because the algorithm says, hey, this tweet is getting a lot of traction. We're going to stick an ad next to it so people put their eyes on this person's product because that's what they're paying us to do. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for the night. Last week, I kind of ended on an abrupt note without my usual closing spiel. I may have got a little bit in my feels. But it's cool. Love my veterans. I will gladly get in my feels for them. But, you know, back to the same old grind. If you enjoy listening to this show and you are listening to this on podcast, please remember to do the four things. The four things, I always ask the four things. Number one, please hit the subscribe button or follow on Apple because subscribe means paying money. And if you want to pay me money, go to Patreon. Patreon.com/Tyler Morgan Show. Get the show ad-free minus the live reads. I still get the live reads, but you don't get whatever Acast is throwing on in the ad segments. But I digress. Anyways, once you subscribe, please rate the show. I'm looking for 5 stars. I will accept 4, 3 and below. We need to have a talk. Hit me up in my DMs on the Twitters at Fake Tyler Morgan. You can see it right there at the bottom of my screen. Right there. Check it out. DM me. Explain to me why you're giving me 3 stars or less. I appreciate the engagement. And if you say something trolly and kind of cringy and I find it amusing, you will become part of my advertising on this show. And I will love you for it ever so much. Once you have rated it, please write a review. Say something nice about the show. That way it pops up as, you may like this show. They can read the reviews, see what people say. Like, oh, they generally like him, except for that guy. That guy does not like him very much, but everyone else does. So, yeah, check it out. Please write the reviews. Then once you have written a review, please share this episode or share the link for the show to everyone you know, especially those who you think will love it. And even more so, the people you know this will, they will hate this and it will drive them up the wall because, hey, it's what I do. Hate and discontent. It's my bread and butter, yo. If you're watching this on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button, hit the bell for notifications. Same on Rumble. So again, thank you so very much for checking out the show. Again, if you want to support the show financially, patreon.com/Tyler Morgan Show. Check out the link to my Venmo in the show notes, or possibly even, I don't know, go to the website, relentlessdaring.com/shop, and buy some merch. Merch sales. I don't get a lot off the merch, but something, and I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so very much. As always, stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there, or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in the Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com, link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.